Welcome to Home Health Revealed, where we share real stories from industry leaders about home health, palliative, and hospice care. Brought to you by Velocity. Grow your home health or hospice agency with the power of Velocity. Velocity's easy-to-read coding and revenue cycle dashboards let you grab your cup of coffee and quickly see the health of your organization. Welcome to today's episode, where we are here with our special guest, Linda Scott. Linda is a seasoned clinical expert with extensive experience in healthcare innovation. She's currently serving as a clinical instructor at Georgetown University and working with Patreon Home Health. With decades of experience in home health and a passion for leveraging technology to improve patient care, Linda brings a unique perspective on how artificial intelligence can revolutionize clinical documentation. And she's not just talking theory. She's been on the front lines presenting at the National Association for Home Care and developing cutting-edge AI tools that are reshaping how nurses approach their critical work. Today, we will explore how we can eliminate administrative burdens, enhance patient care, and help nurses focus on what they do best, providing compassionate, skilled healthcare. So get ready for an insightful conversation that bridges technology, nursing, and patient care. Okay. So Linda, welcome to the show. So great to have you. We're going to dive right into some questions. Given your experience with Patrium Health, how can AI be leveraged to really simplify clinical documentation and improve the quality of care in the home health settings?
Well, AI offers so many opportunities for clinical documentation for home health, particularly thinking about the start of care visit. It's a collection of like 500 data points. What happens today is nurses do that, but they record it in their brains to be transcribed later. One of the advantages of AI is that it never forgets, never takes a vacation, never misses a beat. Whereas nurses, you know, when they get back to dinner table documentation, it's a lot scantier. The crystal clear picture of the patient gets a little blurred. So AI can sharpen up the focus by voice, ambient listening type of collect data now and turn it into a visit note. If I, the nurse, don't have to try to remember all that stuff all day long because it's too much to try to document now in the visit. If I don't have to try to remember that, maybe I'll think about the patient more and maybe I'll be able to spend a little bit more time or get a little better resource or focus on building trust so our teaching can be more effective. We eliminate the obsession with, I got to get my documentation done, got to get my documentation done. So we clear the field. Now I'm here for patient care. Documentation is just part of the deal instead of the deal.
Yeah. So, you know, I use ChatGPT every once in a while. It tends to say the same things, you know, but I, you know, it's a practice where, you know, you're trying to drill in specifically of what you want it to do. So act like this or, you know, whatever, whatever. But when you're saying, you know, using AI in clinical documentation, is there a specific tool within the AI that you would recommend that works at that level?
Well, so ChatGPT is cool. You can use ChatGPT to kind of warm everybody up and get them used to some of its functionality, but it's not secure. There's no HIPAA privacy, anything. It has not been trained on any clinical stuff. So just any old off-the-shelf AI probably will do a sort of job on your documentation, but I work on a tool, actually, Patrium Health Incorporated Clinical Documentation System for Home Health, which is ambient voice and a tremendous amount of designing a workflow that guides the nurse through the process of a medically necessary skilled home health care visit and collects the 500 data points of OASIS, Plan of Care meds, puts it all together in a secure environment, shows it to the nurse to review any corrections. You know, there's a whole lot of facilitation of the process, developing the plan of care, et cetera, so that these are just tools that are presented to the nurse. Then you also have the fact that home health agencies have electronic health records that they use to collect data, store records, transmit billing, OASIS, and so on. And so what we need is something AI related that's going to work seamlessly with the EHR, because AI as a clinical documentation or data collection system does not replace the EHR. It's a tool.
So yeah. I have a question. You are a clinical instructor at Georgetown University. So you have the ability, you're in a really cool position to be able to take theoretic learning, right? You're influencing the next generation of nursing. You're pulling in some of these things that you're doing with hands-on work within an agency. How does the things that are coming into play with technology, with AI, how does that influence your role with sending out new nurses?
I love that question. And I do think about that all the time, is what an opportunity I've been given working in helping to train nurses. What I think about is that the characteristics at the core of nurses are not things that we train. We don't train caring and we don't train compassion. People come with those things. And then we do train a whole bunch of psychology, physiology, anatomy, and so forth and so on. What I think is that AI can allow new nurses, for example, a new nurse coming into home health care, super complicated. Nobody trained you on that in school. And so I think about how complicated it is and how we've tried for my entire career to help people understand what's skilled care, what's medically necessary. Because in home health, nurses work with clinical regulation and reimbursement all at the same time. And that's a juggling act that, again, isn't in nursing school, but is how AI can really help.
So let's just say I'm a nurse, right? I'm going out in the field and I've got AI, whatever type of tool that may be, because it's got to be HIPAA compliant, right? It's got to be, it can't just be a normal AI tool. You can't use your phone for that. You can't use Gemini for that. You can't use ChatGPT for that. You know, you got to make sure that you're using something that's HIPAA compliant. But assuming you have that and you got either a new nurse or maybe just even, you know, a nurse that has been set in their ways, when they're going out to the field and they're completing their start of care, how do you see, or what is your experience with AI being used out in the field with nurses doing starts of care?
A tremendous amount of not really sure, like very skeptical, and then wildly enthusiastic. What else do I do? Well, no, you're done with your visit. You can review your note. Well, what do I do later? Well, you just sign it because you reviewed it and then submit it. No, it's thrilling.
Do you find that there's a generation gap in the willingness to adopt those types of AI tools?
So that's a great question. And it's something I always think about. And I think we do have to acknowledge we got five generations in the workplace right now, and we are not all created the same. We grew up kind of in different times, if you will. So implementation has to take that into consideration. At the end of the day, every nurse, 25 or 65, objects to the horrendous administrative burden of the OASIS data collection and a start of care visit. And it impacts satisfaction for nurses. It diminishes productivity for individual nurses on any individual day. It holds up cash flow. It's, you know, nurses are practical people, but if you show them, here's how it works. By the way, it's not diagnosing the patient or making the decision about whether the patient is homebound or not. Current nursing focuses on evidence-based practice. How do we know what works? And when you think about home health, or we're trying to compete effectively in value-based environments, get our little percentages, and on a measurable basis on stars, ratings, and so forth, demonstrate excellence. Well, we got to do excellence.
Let's shift over to QAPI for a second. You know, there's a lot of agencies that don't have a QAPI program in place. You know, and that's one of the things that we strongly encourage, right? But tell me how, you know, if an agency was to integrate, let's say, AI into their QAPI program, how would an agency go about doing that? What are the benefits of doing such a thing?
Well, you think about what is QAPI. So,
well, it's a weird word, first of all. That's what it is, QAPI. I mean, yeah. I feel like someone's like dissing me when they say, you know, you QAPI.
You QAPI.
Yeah.
I think it's an excellent new curse word.
Yeah.
AI's best function is in stuff that's routine, standardized, repetitive, and in that when you think about that, you go, oh, well, that's Quappy. Because what we do in Quappy is we look at important things. We have to figure out what those are first. That's so easy to do. It's hard to figure out which ones to focus on. But once we figured them out, then we start collecting some data and we can develop a query. Because in AI world, we're going to become query engineers. Yeah. You don't get the right answer if you don't ask the right question, which is exactly like we learned about all kinds of data information systems, you know, garbage in, garbage out. But we're going to ask our tool to collect data, present it to us, and it will do it. If I said, hey, Michael, can you audit 30 charts from the last month? I want you to collect these data points on all of the patients and let's see where we find stuff. So you will get back to me in maybe 30 days. And that's if you didn't have much else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But AI, I got the data tomorrow.
It's a machine learning, right? So it's got to have a lot of data points. The more data points and the more commonality within those data points, it starts to learn per se, right? But if you were to use it for Quappy with all the data points that are necessary and the data that maybe one agency wants to pull, maybe versus what a different agency wants to pull, how do you know if you're getting there with it?
Have data points and you have to make some decisions about what you're going to focus on. So if you focus on falls, now you're going to design a query to help do some research on what works. And then the people will be making the decisions about the changes to be implemented. The AI can create a workflow to, you know, get them down the correct path.
What's your thoughts on how it could be incorporated?
Well, if, say that for your part of your Quappy program was you wanted to improve results on your HCAHPS. You want to get higher to a 9 or a 10 on willing to recommend. And so you've built in some guidance, some scripting and some actions for staff to follow to try to engage and deliver the best results. I'm like, these are our best practices.
You talked about a lot of this stuff at NOC this year, right? You were a featured speaker at the National Association for Home Care. Tell me kind of some of the key things that you really hit in that presentation and what some of the feedback was that you were getting nationally on these topics about AI.
Well, there's tremendous agreement in some of the pain points that people are experiencing. Never enough nurses, capacity issues, and probably looming concerns about capacity issues getting worse with greater demand. We don't see any improvement in any of the data collection stuff getting better. It's probably going to get worse and so on. So everybody was like, we have to solve this problem. Taking care of patients isn't the problem. Managing the documentation requirements that's administrative in nature is. So there was wild enthusiasm about the concept.
And, so it's not the concept, it's the how, right?
Show me. Yeah, everybody's got to have a show me. And then also, everybody's probably also had like a, we tried that. We put this technology in place and it was a big, but the point that I was trying to get across in my talk is that in the beginning of my career, way long time ago, there was a waiting list for nurses to join the VNA. Nurses loved home health care. It was so intimate. It was so meaningful. It was so purposeful. Nurses were self-directed. That's kind of gone because we run by, you know, medically necessary skilled care and, you know, you didn't finish your documentation yet. So see this as a real opportunity to take, you know, the annoying part away and get everybody back to what they came to do. Take care of patients.
Tell you what, we appreciate it so much for you being on today and going through AI. There's still a lot out there that you know, that can be discovered.
Much to be done.
Much to be done. But I think, you know, part of the message too is that, you know, get comfortable with AI because it's going to be here. It's not here. Going anywhere. Really do your research within AI because, you know, I've played around with, there's so many different AI programs out there and they say they do all this stuff. And then actually you go into it and you figure out, well, it really doesn't do it to the level, right? So you got to be careful with it. But I see AI playing a big role in this field. I see it, you know, really taking over coding. I see it taking over a lot of narrative notes. I see it taking over, you know, helping clinicians in their documentation, just being able to articulate better, you know, some of the notes that the nurses are using, right? I think it's a lot faster. I mean, I'm still not even accustomed to when I'm texting. I still text sometimes and I forget, oh my gosh, I got a microphone here, you know, that can just say it, everything. And then I realize that I have a hillbilly accent. And so it doesn't hear me all the way. So I'm trying to find a Siri that knows hillbilly. That way it actually says what I'm saying. I do think as it continues to evolve, more and more people within that generational gap will get accustomed to it, because they'll see the benefit of them being able to reduce their documentation time. They'll see that it's a little bit more accurate. So you're reducing the number of changes that you're making to documentation. And thus what you're really doing at the end of the day, you're making everybody more efficient. You're the agency, the clinician. And if there's somebody out there doing the reviews, again, you're making everybody more efficient. So I do see this as the future. If I was to give advice, I'd say, hey, start testing it, play around with it, get comfortable with it, because there are a lot of companies out there today that offer some type of assistance in terms of clinical documentation and you know, scribing per se or dictation to text, which I don't think they like it when you call it that. So I shouldn't have said that, but that's what it is. But no, it's amazing. And thank you for sharing your expertise. I know you're a well-known speaker, highly thought of in this industry. So to have you on our show is just an awesome benefit.
That's really kind. Thank you.